whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Here we go, Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, 41 minutes to kick off. I parlayed Texas plus 6 with the under 51.5, and I love that. But I was worried, Woolchuck, that it could become a shootout with how many talented guys are out there. So I made a separate bet on UT on the money line. So if I miss the parlay, should get back to even at about 10:30, 10:45 tonight. Here's Woolchuck with your Chuck Wagon.
Let's get it. Let's go. We are getting closer and closer to kickoff here at the Cotton Bowl. And my goodness, is this going to be a fun game? I hope it lives up to the expectation that really last night gave us and all the talent that we have on this field. Now, we can put to rest, it sounds like, this Quinn Ewers $6 million offer. Load of baloney. Quinn ain't going back and transferring. He's not entering the portal. He just did an interview on College Game Day with Pete Thamel. Thamel asked him, hey, you think you're going to be playing college football next season? Quinn said, nah, I don't. What about everybody talking about this? Quinn says, I haven't even paid attention to it. I'm not really sure what's going on. So at least from Quinn Ewers' mouth here tonight, he does not expect to be playing college football. He will still be entering the draft, and some team's going to get him probably at the top of day three, I would assume. Really, really sexy fourth-round pick right there for Quinn Ewers. Maybe in the third. Maybe some team says, hey, I'll take him in the third. But I don't think he's probably a first- or second-round option unless do we go Drew Aller treatment. If he balls out tonight against a very, very good Ohio State defense, carries on that performance against Arizona State, then parlays that over to a Fighting Irish victory in the championship game against what is a very good defense with Notre Dame, maybe we look at Quinn Ewers a little differently.
Man, I would be surprised, but we've seen it happen. You know, you have a great postseason in football or basketball. You can accelerate up those boards, but, you know, and sometimes a guy that we think has no shot ends up being like a late first or a second rounder, but there's just so much water under that bridge, you know, when it comes to the decision-making and the turnovers and who he is as a player in multiple different contexts. I, you know, if the Cowboys would take him, it better be day three. And you're thinking, you know, let's get him in our system for a couple of years and, you know, use him as a backup or a third stringer until then.
I'm with you. Tonight they're going to need him. You know, tonight's a big one for Quinn. This is a statement game. All eyes on him. Former team. Can you put together a full four quarters of football? We've seen moments of greatness from you. We've seen moments of, like, really gross football, right? What version of Quinn Ewers are we going to see tonight? That's going to go a long way for a Texas victory. Now, last night, Notre Dame, I mean, that game was outstanding. Both teams going back and forth. The middle eight, Brian.
Yeah.
Notre Dame won the middle eight. And ultimately, that's what won them this football game.
Won them the game. Yep.
That middle eight was big for them. You had a nice back and forth with the running back, Singleton at Penn State, Jeremiah Love. Eric, you brought it up earlier. I mean, that was a grown man touchdown run. He would not be denied. Now, post-game, Jeremiah Love said he wants him some Ohio State. Quote, I want to play the best. And I guess last year you had Notre Dame and Ohio State play. That game was pretty darn close between the two of them. But Jeremiah Love said, quote, we want to play Ohio State. We lost them last year in a game we should have won. I feel like Ohio State is better than Texas. I want to play the best and win. So you can guarantee that if Texas does end up winning this game, that'll be some bulletin board material for the Horns.
Like, he's probably right, though, isn't he?
I think player for player, yes. Ohio State is a better team than Texas is.
Yeah.
I do. It's going to be tough sled. But at moments, we've seen both of these teams look dominant, like holy hell, they're national champions. We've also seen them play really, really down. I mean, it's hard to get out Ohio State's loss to Michigan out of your head. It's hard to get the way Texas lost to Georgia the first time around out of your head, right? That's probably the two worst games both teams have played all year. We'll see what happens tonight. Post-game, Marcus Freeman. And I'm here for all the Marcus Freeman hype, dude. This guy should be getting looks at the National Football League. I know we had Stuart Mandel on yesterday. He's like, I don't get it. I don't get why teams are always going and looking at college. It doesn't work. It does, though. I mean, sometimes it works if you get the right guy. Jimmy Johnson comes to mind. Pete Carroll comes to mind. Those guys had great success. Nick Saban, his first year at Miami, They were a 500 football team. It's not like, I mean, if he had a stayed at Miami, maybe if he assesses the Culpepper-Breeze scenario differently, they get Drew Breeze, maybe that works out. I think he realized, I just want to be in college. It's better suited for me. But it's not to say it always fails. Lately, it has. Urban Meyer was an absolute S show. But I think when you look at Dan Lanning and you look at Marcus Freeman, these are two guys to me that are capable of being good NFL coaches, and the sky is the limit for Marcus Freeman. Here was him post-game with Molly McGrath, as he has become the first Black and Asian coach to make it to the college football playoff national championship game.
Because you are the first Black head coach to go to a national championship game in college football. Just hearing that response alone, how much does this mean to you?
You know, I've said this before. I don't ever want to take attention away from the team. It is an honor, and I hope all coaches, minorities, Black, Asian, white, it doesn't matter, great people continue to get opportunities to lead young men like this. But this ain't about me. This is about us. And we're going to celebrate what we've done because it's something special.
That's a guy who's always deflecting. It's not about me. It's about the team. Yeah, I mean, you played the audio earlier this week, Eric, of Riley Leonard going up to the podium after they won the Sugar Bowl. And he's like, man, that play, that was all coach. He's not going to admit it. And Marcus Freeman's getting all bashful, and he's blushing. And it's true. He doesn't want to get that glory. He wants the team to get it. But he deserves it in this moment. What he's done taking over from Chip Kelly, who left that program because he didn't believe Notre Dame was able to get to where he's led the Irish
Brian
today.
Kelly.
Brian Kelly, yes.
Yeah,
playing for a national championship. Pretty damn unbelievable. I haven't been a believer. I've been a doubter of the Irish. And I was dead balls wrong. Congratulations to you, Marcus Freeman. That team plays tremendous defense. They're tough as hell at the line of scrimmage. They can run the football. That is not going to be an easy out for whoever wins this game tonight. And Marcus Freeman deserves all the praise that he's getting leading up to this national championship game.
Absolutely. Well, Chuck, well said. And, you know, from what I gather, you know, he's just the complete package as far as a leader of men. I think the biggest difference, you know, going college to the pros is that when you get to the NFL, you have this massive learning curve. You're playing catch up on the things that all of the other guys know, the personnel, you know, how the tendencies of all these different players. So, you know, can you learn enough in 6 or 18 months to have a fighting chance by the time you get to year two? And then you throw in the leadership of the different ages and how you motivate them, right? The tactics that work on a 19-year-old are going to offend a 25-year-old, especially if he's got money in his account. So, you know, but I would bet on, you know, Freeman and his staff as much as anybody, but that just wouldn't be a lot. You know, you got to cherry pick a couple of examples from decades to find people that have had success.
Notre Dame has done a better job of, if you want to say, becoming more modern with their approach to football. You know, Notre Dame is not an easy university to get in, and now you're embracing transfer portal. They've had a few. Now they've seen it. Some of their best players are transfer portal players, and so the NIL, the transfer portal, they've embraced that. And, you know, now that has taken them into a different approach. And there's some schools, there's the Stanfords, and you used to think about the Notre Dames. And, you know, the admissions are so strict that they've allowed the program to take on players. And that's what you have to be able to do. If you want to compete in these games, you have to be able to go get those players and allow them to come to your university. And Notre Dame has embraced that.
Notre Dame making football history. Sugar and Orange Bowl wins during this national title game run. They're the first team in college football to win two major bowls like that in the same year, which makes a ton of sense. I mean, nobody's been playing in two quite like that until the new format. We might see this more often, but Texas a chance to win the Peach and the Cotton, but Notre Dame with the Sugar and the Orange Bowl, I mean, those have always been. I mean, they were in the BCS bowls. Cotton Bowl wasn't a part of that. Peach Bowl wasn't a part of that. Those are two legendary bowls that Notre Dame's won and checked off the list. Okay, let's get to some NFL football, shall we? And it does appear that Ezekiel Elliott is not going to be elevated. Mm-hmm. He will not be active from the practice squad for Saturday's game against the Texans. Eddie Jackson and running back Jarrett Patterson have been elevated for the Texans. For the Chargers, and then Eli Apple, the corner, and our buddy Simi Fehoko have been activated off injured reserve. But no Zeke. Zeke will not be in a Chargers uniform against the Texans.
Yeah, you get him in your building, and you're like, holy cow, it's worse than we thought. I can't believe he's not moving well. I mean, it's really unbelievable, you know, to think about how other running backs around his same age have held up compared to him. It's just unfortunate the Cowboys got, you know, the one player that really, you know, fell off quickly.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a testament to being a top five pick, being a first round pick. You're going to get the benefit of the doubt. But I mean, it's kind of been washed up for 5 years now. Even Jim Harbaugh didn't know it yet.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, taking care of your body, man. I mean, you can go out and you can do all the things that you want to do when you're, 21, 22, 23 years old. The recovery's there, the bounce back's there. You start getting later on in your career, you're seeing it with Derrick Henry and all. I mean, that dude doesn't need a carb. I mean, he didn't want anything to do with that cake on Christmas Day because he knows it's going to completely ruin his diet, right?
Yeah.
So it comes down. I mean, if you want to have longevity at the running back position, you've got to take an immense amount of care on your physical health.
I mean, you know my diet most of the time, Wolch. Chuck, and I'm dealing with foot, knee, hip, and back on both sides. When I was dialed from Halloween through Christmas, all of the pain and inflammation was gone. I was walking well. I was like, holy cow, you know, and that was just pretty much eliminating sugar.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Browns, Jets, Jags. Those are the teams that are going to go play across the pond in England, okay? Not surprising with the Jags. They're going to be playing at Wembley. Hotspurs are going to be hosting the Jets and the Browns. Now, what makes this interesting?
Cowboys have a road game
against the Jets.
Hello. Yeah.
Road game against the Jets. Do we get Cowboys, Jets in London next year? Maybe. It's been 10 years since the Cowboys went to England. They took on Jacksonville. Maybe you get Cowboys, Jets next year. That would be pretty fun. I know we had some of our friends in England, John Nelson being one that was already like, hey, G-Bag Nation takes England. That'd be pretty amazing. I don't think Odyssey would fit that bill, but you never know. You never know. Maybe if we plan now.
The way you guys are calling in right now from your house, and I called in last night on yesterday's show with even less tech. I mean, that was just an internet connection and an app, and sounded great. I felt, you know, the audio was coming in good, wasn't it, Lucia? So, you know, I feel like this is more doable than ever. I'd be willing to pay my own plane ticket and hotel to go to London and watch a Cowboys game, and maybe pick a couple of soccer games in there as well.
Mm.
I just want to throw it out there.
I'm totally down to have Uncle Brian cover it for us, and you know, we'll move forward from there. I love you, Brian. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And then here is the All-Pro team, and really we just had history with one specific player. It's Tristan Wirfs of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tristan Wirfs is getting interviewed by the Bucs website, and then he got a surprise guest, his wife and his baby, who's wearing a shirt that says, "My dad's an All-Pro," come in and interrupt the interview, and this is how it sounded for Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, it takes a while. Three years of reps.
Well, I got some news to share with you regarding that.
No way. Hi, Bob. Come here. Come here, Bob.
The first player to be a first team All-Pro on the right side and now on the left side.
Wow.
And as
what do you think, Bob?
That's awesome.
You surprised me. That's crazy. I was just telling her about it the other night. Like last night. I was like,
you did a great job.
I was like, no one's ever done it before. I was like, I'm trying. The shirt, that's crazy.
Julius. Hi. Hello.
It's amazing. Shout out to him, man. At 25 years old, dude's made the All-Pro team at left and right tackle. First player to do so. He's a Super Bowl champ. He's a two-time first-team All-Pro, one-time second-team All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler, all-rookie team at 25 years old. This guy has put together already a Hall of Fame resume. That is unbelievable what Tristan Wirfs done. Congratulations to him. And that video got me a little bit, boys. It really did. When he's hanging out there with his son, and the son's got, like, my daddy's an All-Pro, it was such a sweet, sweet, endearing, heartfelt moment. But congratulations to him. Last thing I want to leave you with, Broncos-Bills. It's your guy, Bill Vinovich. He's going to be officiating this game, Brian.
I think that game is going to be over in 60 minutes.
Why does this matter? Well, Bill was the guy who ref the 2018 NFC Championship title game.
Oh.
When the Saints got hosed on that pass interference call that wasn't against the Rams.
Rams
went to the Super Bowl. He has not officiated a Sean Payton coach game since.
Jeez.
So he will be on the call for Sean Payton's Broncos against the Bills. Make of that what you will, but we'll see if there's any officiating blunders.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck.
Thank you.
Okay, a Chuck wagon is in the books, and now a Friday staple here in the nation. Chief, where are you taking us?
Got ourselves a Friday news dump, ladies and gentlemen. How will Texas go about trying to stop Jeremiah Smith tonight? And we might be living in the future with some big-time video game news next year in the nation.
All right, welcome back, nation. Yes, 20 minutes from kickoff here, Texas and Ohio State. And it's a Friday night, so you know it's time for that Friday News Dump with the Chief. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here's the Chief.
Thank you very much. Okay, congratulations to Nick Saban, who apparently at AT&T Stadium on the game day set was just granted the nod for the College Football Hall of Fame. That was a no-brainer shoe-in, but the announcement has just been made, so congratulations to Nick Saban. Plenty of conversation to be had here over the next couple of minutes about this big matchup, Texas and Ohio State. But first, I do want to acknowledge something that Walchuk was teasing a little bit, the article in ESPN about the Giants disaster. And they are, of course, sticking with the general manager and the head coach in New York, which as a Cowboys fan I think is just wonderful. But they have a deep dive into just the disaster class that was the Giants this year. And one of the little nuggets in the story, and tell me, Broadus, how bleep holy this is from the Giants general manager, because it starts with before the start of a Week 4 game. This was actually when the Giants and the Cowboys were getting ready to play. And they had signed a corner in the offseason, Nick McLeod. And they, I guess, wanted McLeod to take a pay cut from the one-year, $2.98 million deal that he signed as a restricted free agent in the offseason. And McLeod wanted to, of course, remain with the Giants, but he wanted to keep his current deal. It was a one-year, $3 million deal. It's not like this dude got the fatty boom-bah. So they asked him to take a pay cut during the season, and he was getting ready to start this game. So this is one of your starters. This is just a few weeks into the season, and they're already asking this dude for a pay cut. And they describe it here as bold and unusual, according to multiple executives around the league. And they say that apparently the general manager, Joe Shane, told McLeod's representatives, he said, because they were obviously pushing back on the idea of taking a pay cut.
Yeah.
And the quote from the general manager to the player's agent was, quote, "Don't pay October's rent, all right? As soon as I can replace him, I'm going to replace him. I'm not bleeping around." So I don't know. That's just one example of just how bad the Giants are down right now and how awful it probably is to be a player for that organization. But I don't know, Broadus, if that's something – I mean, executives around the league are saying that's kind of ridiculous. But
Yeah, there's things that you are you're not very, you know, thoughtful about, and it is a business. But that's really, really over-the-top unusual right now to handle a player that way. I mean, there's decisions you make and all this, but man, calling an agent and doing that, you just don't want that karma, you know, coming back on you with, you know, that gets around the agent community of how you're treating players. You know, you're not going to be in this thing very long, and this guy might not be in it very long. Had one really good year, and you know, had a draft, but since then they've really gone south.
All right. Well, I appreciate your perspective on that. Bleep the Giants. Bleep Joe Shane. All right. Now, let's go ahead and get to this matchup here. And obviously, one of the biggest storylines that we're going to be watching in this game is the Ohio State Buckeye receiver and really all their receivers, but especially Jeremiah Smith, the true freshman who's just been an absolute monster. And how will Texas go about trying to slow him down? CJ Vogel, who covers Texas, says, that he thinks from his understanding is that Texas is going to take the approach kind of like a Bill Belichick approach, where you take your second best corner and put him on the best wide receiver, but you're going to have a safety over top and you're going to double him the whole time, and then you'll have your best corner cover one on one the wide receiver two for the offense. So in this case, it would be Jeremiah Smith is wide receiver one. They would put their second best corner Muhammad on him, and then have a safety over top to double him, and then put Barron, their top corner, Jim Thorpe guy that we all wouldn't mind seeing the Cowboys draft potentially in round number one, put him on Emeka Ibuka, who is the wide receiver two for Ohio State, and go about it that way. Are you guys in favor of that? I was really hoping to see Barron on Smith as much as possible, best on best. Obviously, Ibuka is an NFL player as well, so that matchup with him and Barron will be fantastic. But do you like that approach for Texas tonight?
It just seems like Jeremiah Smith is so good once he gets the ball in his hands. I can't risk the second corner being out of the picture, and now he's one-on-one with space and a running head start of the safety. I need the sticky coverage and the safety, and I'll take my chances with Ibuka, who's quite a bit more containable after the catch.
I love Ibuka. I think he's also awesome. This is going to be an interesting deal where it's like pick your poison. Ultimately, I think that all these guys could end up winning. The question will be then Carnell Tate, their third wide receiver at Ohio State. Does he end up? Who's matching up with him? Muhammad, I think, is also going to be an NFL corner. So I don't hate him on Smith. Then you have Makuba, who might be one of the most underrated safeties in the country. That dude is a thumper. He's physical as all hell over the top on you. But I do think at some point, especially if Jeremiah Smith pops a couple big plays, they're going to have to move Jahdae Barron over there to try and contain him. But Emeka Ibuka is a problem. I mean, he's another one of these guys at 12 for the Cowboys. I would not be upset with that selection whatsoever.
Yeah, I think that we're all kind of focusing, and I do believe what you're going to see with the receivers and how to match. If I'm Texas, I think I'm worried about Ohio State's running game. I mean, you got with Ohio State, though, you've got the ability to use these backs too as receivers. Both of them are more than capable of making plays here. When you look at there with Judkins and then Henderson both, I mean, they put them in the backfield, they swing it to them. You know, if Texas tries to kind of clog some things up in the secondary, you know, how good are the Texas linebackers going to be dealing with these two quality Ohio State backs? I think that could hurt them, but how they run the football, Ohio State, I think, is going to try and be physical in this game and take it to Texas that way. Maybe soften them up a little bit. I think that's a bigger problem than what Texas is going to have to deal with in the secondary.
Wow, and that's saying something for sure. I mean, the Buckeye offense is just so well-rounded with the way that the skill guys that they have on the outside, and then the 1-2 punch at running back. It's pretty unbelievable. And I think part of the problem for Texas is, are they going to be just so one-dimensional offensively tonight? I mean, their inability to really establish things versus Arizona State on the ground, and then to expect to be able to go out and have your way with the Buckeyes front seven is just – it's a tall order. And maybe having Cam Williams back at right tackle is, like, huge enough to make up for some of that stuff, because he didn't play versus Arizona State. So having him back is certainly nice. But my big fear for Texas is if they really have to put up some points here and they become just too one-dimensional, the Buckeye pass rush can really get after you.
Yeah.
Do you guys like the idea of them potentially moving away from their kicker that got him here, by the way, Bert Auburn?
I don't really particularly think a change in the kicker – but yeah, that just shows you maybe where the coaching staff's head's at right now, and then maybe the players in that locker room. Man, they you want to believe in your guy, but all of a sudden, then you almost got bounced, and two drives, and they weren't like you had to kick 58-yard field goals to win this game.
Yeah.
You know, they were makeable field goals, but I tell you what, this is but there's not a lot of confidence there's just not much confidence.
No, I'd rather go with the unknown than the unconfident.
Yeah.
You know, because the kicking is the closest thing to golf that you're going to find in football, obviously. And if you have now lost your ability to believe that ball is going through, I feel like there's just so many more ways that could go wrong. And I want to try a new guy in there.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, if I could circle back real quick about this Ohio State defense.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on Caleb Downs. They got a safety.
Oh, yeah, that's
a sophomore.
Safety.
He wears number two.
Bama transfer.
This is a veteran, senior-led defense. Up and down that lineup, it's seniors. It's, you know, you look at their defensive line. Sawyer's a senior. Williams a senior. JT's a senior. They got all these guys that are senior players. But they have one of the best safeties in the country with this Caleb Downs, and he's only a sophomore. So he could be a factor. Helm, the tight end, right?
Gunnar Helm.
Helm is a tight end that makes a lot of plays for Texas. I wouldn't be surprised if Downs goes over and plays against him. They need to treat Helm like a wide receiver in this football game because he's capable of making some big-time plays. I'm sure they're going to cover him that way.
Gosh, dude, the amount of talent that's going to be on the field in this game is just absolutely through the roof. What'd you say, Walchuk? There's 21 prospects that are all like top two or three round graded players. Plenty of them going to be in the first round. I mean, the talent is just going to be through the roof here. I have the most bet tickets for player props in tonight's game.
Ooh.
And we'll start with Will Howard, Ohio State quarterback. And obviously, which version of him do you get? He's been so freaking dialed the last two games. If they get that version of him tonight, it's probably going to be super tough sledding for Texas, but you never really know. He's been kind of all over the place, and we'll obviously never forget that Michigan game. He actually said, because of course he was at K-State before transferring to Ohio State, he says, there was one team that I never beat in the Big 12, and it was Texas. So I'm really looking forward to this game. We'll see if he's at the height of his powers, but the fifth most bet ticket for player props tonight is Will Howard over 247.5 passing yards. Mm. You guys like that? Over 247.5 passing yards for Will Howard. That's the number five most bet player prop tonight.
I mean, listening to the talk about this Longhorn secondary and watching them play throughout the year, that wouldn't be the one that would jump out to me on the board that I would think I want to jump into.
Okay, go ahead, Walchuk.
Oh, it's tough. Give me the under. I think Colin Jefferson and Anthony Hill are going to get after him and make life very, very difficult. Give me that Texas pass rush to make Will Howard not as comfortable as he was in that Rose Bowl. So I think maybe 225 would be my ballpark for
him. Yeah, I kind of feel like what I said earlier, though, this running game with these two backs, they're going to try and establish something and make Howard feel really, really comfortable in this football game, and running it would be a great way of doing it.
Okay, the fourth most bet player prop in this game is the under on rushing yards for Texas runner Quintrevion Wisner. 64.5 rushing yards, the under. I think that's a no-brainer. The Buckeye run defense is obviously dominant.
Hammer it. I might need to get another deposit in here. I don't think there's any way he's going over that.
You know what would be interesting is Sark is pretty creative in the way they run the football. You know, they will get
and
going.
He's a home run threat. All it takes
exactly.
is one chunk
yeah,
play.
They do a great job with their offensive line movement, getting these tackles up on second levels, the centers, the guards. Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mentioned about the front seven. We've talked about that veteran-led group. You know, these edges play really, really well inside. They're a hard group to move. If Texas is going to run the football, and they do have success, if Texas comes out and runs the football and has success, they're going to win this football game because Ohio State, I think they're going to try and choke the run, you know, and make Quinn Ewers beat him through the air.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Trying to get Wisner to the edge would be fantastic for Texas tonight, but that'll be tough sledding. I like the underplay on that one as well. Number three most bet player prop is going to be Trevion Henderson, running back for Ohio State, over 23.5 receiving yards.
Yeah.
And then the second most bet ticket is Trevion Henderson, under 51.5 rushing yards. Mm. So, obviously, two great run defenses in this game. We'll see if either offense can get the rushing attack going, but Henderson, under 51.5 rushing yards is the second most bet player prop. And then, of course, the young stud freshman, Jeremiah Smith, over 86.5 receiving yards is the number one most bet ticket when it comes to player props tonight. Over, under 86.5 yards. Can they slow down the Supreme Beast? They're going to try and double him. Maybe they put the Jim Thorpe Baron on him, but he's just flying so high right now. I don't mind that over 86.5.
No, that seems reasonable. You know, his big playability as well. You know, you get him downfield with that big body in those hands, and you know he could take care of that quite simply by halftime.
Yeah, and I don't know what the deal is with the depth chart, but I see it circulating right now in Texas. Their wide receiver Isaiah Bond not listed in the starting lineup at the X spot from a wide receiver standpoint. So I don't know. I mean, he's obviously playing in the game, but just something to monitor there. Now, elsewhere around some sports here, we do have Zion Williamson late for Thursday's team flight to Philly. And so the Pelicans are going to be suspending him for tonight's game versus the 76ers. He was out for a while, comes back, 360 dunk. Then he's out with a hamstring, and then he's late to the flight. Maybe the hamstring was slowing him down a little bit. I don't know. Remember the two Yankee fans that were that grabbed the Mookie Betts ball during Game 4 of the World
Series?
They were
given better seats?
No,
I think they got banned.
They've been banned indefinitely from attending any MLB games henceforth.
It's all MLB games. It's not just Yankee games.
Yeah.
Damn.
It was because they tried to rip the ball out of the guy's glove.
Yeah,
right?
You can't. They were messing with Mookie Betts' other hand. It wasn't even just the hand with his glove on. It was like there's no need to be grabbing and messing with his naked hand.
I mean, that's technically assault, you know.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer. I actually agree with that one. Mm-hmm. Even though if I was a Yankees fan, those guys are the guests of honor. They're never paying for another meal or another beer.
Never touch the naked hand of a man, Walt.
Don't touch the naked hand.
No. Gloved hand only.
We do have the look ahead line for the Natty, of course, Notre Dame, a surefire lock. Who will it be, Ohio State or Texas? If it's Ohio State, Notre Dame is going to be a 7.5-point dog at this point. This is obviously the look ahead line here. So and then for if Ohio State is going to be a 7.5-point favorite versus Notre Dame, what do you think the look ahead line is for if Texas ends up winning tonight and going to the Natty versus Notre Dame?
Let me get 2.5. I'll take 2.5, Chief.
2.5 as a Texas
Longhorns
favorite.
I think he's right. I think it's a field goal or 2.5. Yeah.
I think it's Texas by 4.5.
Dawson, you absolutely nailed it. Hopefully this is a sign of things to come for your bets tonight.
Let's go. I'm on fire.
Because Notre Dame right now, look ahead line, if Texas ends up winning tonight, it'll be Texas favored by 2.5. All right, let's close down the dump here with a little video game news. Apparently, we're living in the future to some extent. Sony unveiled new technology that will allow PlayStation players to smell the scents of the games they are playing.
What?
How?
Yes. I thought I was getting ball sacked on this, I've confirmed it. They're debuting conceptual technology at CES 2025 that would essentially allow gamers to enter the worlds of PlayStation games such as The Last of Us or a Grand Theft Auto situation. Can you imagine smelling the fire of the car that you just blew up or the perfume of the lovely lady of the night? I mean, that would be pretty ridiculous. And they're not calling it virtual reality. This is like it's a giant cube that you're kind of in, and instead it's made of incredibly high definition screens that present the game world around the player. So you're not like wearing a headset, but you're kind of like in this cube of sorts. I don't know, but this sounds pretty ridiculous. Smelling a video game is never something I considered wanting to do, but now I'm kind of intrigued.
It is amazing how over our lifetimes we've seen them iterate so many different ways of gaming, but it's always come back just to with the controller staring at the screen. So I wouldn't bet on it being successful, but dang, I'm intrigued. I know Sony has a lot of plans for innovating into the future. I've been looking at. Hadn't heard of this one, though.
Yeah, pretty nuts. So there it is. There's your dump.
Thank you, Chief. There it is on a Friday night with 2.5 minutes to go until kickoff. We'll be back and cross with the Fan After Dark, see what they have cooking here for in a football Friday evening in the G-Bag Nation. Second, third down of the game. Longhorns running up the middle on 3rd and 4, and they'll find themselves on 4th down as that Ohio State defense stiffened. It was a hell of a play on the first third down of the game, a one-handed catch by your guy out there on the sideline to keep the drive alive. But it looks like they got a decision here. I suppose with that uneasy kicker situation, that'd be about a 50-51 yarder.
I think they're going, yeah.
Yeah, you have to. You're in fringe territory. You have to go for it here. And that was Matthew Golden with the snag. I mean, that dude stepped up big in the Peach Bowl as well.
So they go for it on 4th down. Ewers incomplete. So Ohio State is going to take over on downs as we are underway in Arlington. the college football semifinal as we get set to hand it off to the Fan After Dark. Fred and Blake, gentlemen, good evening to you. Fred, Blake? Oh, no, we do not have Fred and Blake. Okay.
I see Blake sitting there. He just didn't have his mic up.
Yeah, Blake's talking.
Blake's trying to talk to us.
Yeah, we're working out some gators. They can't hear us for some reason.
Oh, right on. No problem. Okay. No problem at all. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. What a massive sports weekend with this game here, then the wild card football weekend starting tomorrow. And for basketball fans, obviously, Mavs and Nuggets are going to play on Sunday night. A huge test for this group. I don't think I'm expecting a win or anything close to it, but if you could pull one of those two out against Denver, that'd be something. And the Stars get Montreal tomorrow.
Yeah, the Stars are in a little bit of a, these next few games are going to be a little bit difficult with Montreal and then Toronto. Right about that, Wooly, on the horizon?
Yeah, they stink against Toronto. I think if you're a betting man, pick the Leafs to beat the Stars, but I think they'll be okay against Montreal. But for whatever reason, they have a really bad history against the Leafs.
Okay, there's a troubling story out of Louisiana State. You would maybe expect this more from a Georgia Bulldog, but an LSU Tiger, behind the wheel, finding tragedy. LSU receiver Kyron Lacy, a player, accused of causing a crash that killed a 78-year-old man and then fleeing the scene without rendering aid or calling authorities. According to the news release, Lacy was allegedly driving on Louisiana Highway 20, recklessly passing multiple vehicles at a high rate of speed by crossing the center line and then entering the northbound lane while in a designated no passing zone. And on one of those passes through, he set off a chain of events with people swerving to miss him.
Right.
One of those people in that line swerved back into the oncoming traffic and was critically injured, did not make it. So you hate to see these kind of stories, and no doubt a big hit for the LSU football program, because I can't imagine, unless he's got one hell of an explanation, that he'll be playing football down there.
Well,
again,
he just declared for the draft.
Oh,
so he's now he's going to have to answer these questions for, this will be hanging over him for until it's taken care of, unfortunately, for the for all involved, though. It's a terrible situation.
Yeah, condolences to the family and all that. Just unfortunate when the sports world, comes into focus in that sort of a way with the tragedy. Okay, Ewers heading for the draft, guys. We touched on that briefly. I gave you my thoughts on where I'd like the Cowboys to take him. Do you have any interest there from a Cowboys perspective?
I'm always into taking day three quarterbacks. I mean, I think that's something that Brian, very well. Green Bay's got a history of doing that. I mean, every single year, why not throw, a dart and see if maybe you end up hitting on one? So I wouldn't mind. The problem is, hey, guess what? Where's that fourth round pick when maybe you'd consider taking him? He's on your team at Jonathan Mingo. You feeling good about that? So I don't think the Cowboys are going to be in a position to be able to draft Quinn Ewers unless they want to do it on day two. And they shouldn't, because you need that day two player to probably be a starter for you next year.
You know, the player that might be of more interest for the Cowboys, I don't know how you feel about Cooper Beebe at right guard, but how about this Longhorn center, Wolchek? How much have you looked at him?
Jake Major. So I was covering him when he was at Prosper. He's a left tackle at Prosper, and he's been kicked inside, been a four-year starter at center. I'm a big Jake Majors fan. I mean, that guy will climb to the second level. He's pretty good when it comes to pass coverage. I like him, again, in the running game. Maybe bigger bodies. Like, this is a good matchup for him against Tyke Williams inside for the Ohio State, because he struggled a little bit when it comes to some of the, kind of like we talked about with Biotish, struggling with these bigger, powerful defensive tackles. But, I mean, if Majors was there in the third round, sign me up for Jake Majors. He might be a second-round guy, but I think that'd be really good value in the third round, much like they got with Cooper Beebe last year.
He's a tough player, made a lot of starts, a veteran type of guy. So, yeah.
Makes all the calls
probably
for him at the line.
Worse. Absolutely, yep.
Ohio State's come out with physical run plays on the first two downs. They convert on third down as they approach midfield in a scoreless semifinal in Arlington with 10 minutes to go first half. Let's wrap it up. Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup.
Happy birthday, bro.
At Mass Control. Yes, happy birthday, sir. Salute to, did Carter Freeman coordinate our video? 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. He was working remotely today. Fred and Blake working remotely. They're coming up next. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chiafalo and Brian Broaddus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till Monday at 2, you're going home with the G-Back Nation. Addies.